Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the greatest show on earth, the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. I am your host, Xavier Miller, and today I got a live, great episode for y'all. But before we get it started, I would like to advise all the listeners, all the watchers, so please hit that like button, hit that five-star rating, give us a review, share, comment, do all those things. We try to run the numbers up, so we would greatly appreciate that. And getting right into the show, today I got a guy here that's, if y'all on social media, y'all see him, his content is going crazy. And I just knew he would be a great guest to bring on the show because he has a fire perspective and his experiences on things. I feel like would be great for the listeners and the watchers. So without further ado, welcome to the show. My guy, Nate, what's good, brother?
Man, it's good to be here.
Good to have you here, man. Hey, How you feeling?
I feel good.
Okay.
I feel real good. Love the show. Love everything that you're doing.
Thank you, bro.
Making an impact and representing as well.
Thank you, man. Thank you. So getting right into it. So, for the people, if this may be their first time seeing and hearing of you, give some brief background on yourself. Let the listeners know who you are.
Yeah, so Nate Cotman, grew up in Philly.
Okay.
Very passionate about the concept of masculine vulnerability specifically and vulnerability in general. As far as professionally, I work in the credit space.
Okay.
In real estate.
Okay.
But my passion is impacting people through communication, right? Okay. And being a pioneer, what it means to be vulnerable, you know what I'm saying? What it means to lead with your heart. And so I think that those things are extremely important. It's something that you don't see from men a lot of times, because oftentimes men look at it as a sign of weakness, when in actuality it's a superpower if you use it and you funnel it in the right way. Mm. So, for those that have tapped into my social media, they know about the videos where I'm speaking from the heart and I'm very transparent about my journey, my life, being married for 5 years and some of the things that happened.
Yeah.
And just taking accountability and different things like that. And then affirming people, right? Being a voice, a male voice of affirmation for people to let them know that they're valuable, they can overcome anything, you know what I'm saying? Help people to discover that intrinsic, value.
Why is that so important to you? And has that always been something that's valuable to you? Or is it certain experiences that like, man, this is like super important, I need to like double down on this?
Yeah, for sure. So it hasn't always been at the forefront of my mind.
Okay.
I always knew in theory that it was important, but it's not something that I always practice. I'll definitely say that in my marriage, I was not vulnerable. Right. In my marriage, I wasn't transparent. My marriage, a lot of times, I wasn't honest in some instances as well.
Right.
And so seeing the breakdown and deterioration of my marriage and the role that played in it, that had an effect on it. But then also my dad, last year he died.
Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. And so when he died, I looked at all the things that died in him. Right. My dad was a great man. But there were some things that died with him, and there were some areas of his life where he didn't practice that vulnerability as well, which left us with a lot of questions, right? And so, once he died, I think for me, that was a wake-up call to say, look, leading with vulnerability is important, not just for you, but for the people that you love, right? Mm. If you want to have healthy interpersonal relationships with, a significant other or a family member or even friends, it requires a level of vulnerability that's important. So I think that those two things, a failed marriage and my dad dying, were things that contributed to me seeing the value in.
That's so interesting, bro. And you talked about how at times you wasn't vulnerable or transparent and open during your marriage. Why do you think that was? Was it age or like, what do you think that was?
Yeah, I think it was a fear of what other people would think. I think fear was a thing that caused me to shut down. And in some instances, I did not feel safe. That doesn't mean that she didn't make me feel safe. But in some instances, I just didn't feel safe enough to
be open,
vulnerable, right? I felt that if I was vulnerable about some things. I felt like I would be judged,
right?
Or I felt like other people would look at me differently or whatever the case may be. And so for me, man, I shut down, right? I think also a part of it was not feeling like the marriage was worth that vulnerability. You know what I'm saying? I tell people all the time that the first year of my marriage, I felt like we weren't gonna make it.
You knew that the first year?
First year, we didn't date for a long period of time before we got married. And so essentially it was two strangers in a marriage together. And I felt like there was a lot as far as like connection that we lacked. So a part of it was feeling like, man, it's not even worth the vulnerability.
I see what you're saying.
Right, as well, which is not the right approach, right? In hindsight, that's not the right approach,
right?
Because, you know, maybe if I was more vulnerable, maybe if I was more honest, right, we would have developed the connection that was necessary for us to actually win.
Facts.
Right? And so sometimes there are self-deprivating thoughts that we have, right, that cause us not to win in certain areas because of our mentality or our mindset around that particular thing. Mm. Right? I know for you, right, you deal a lot, you talk a lot about a lot of different things, but a part of it is money.
Yep.
Right? If you have the wrong mindset around money, then you can make a lot of money. You can also blow through a lot of money because
you're gonna blow through it.
Yeah, you have an improper perspective on money.
Yeah.
Around money. Same thing is true with relationships, right? Maybe I was in a marriage that would have lasted if I had the proper mindset around vulnerability in that space.
Do you feel like, because with you being in the real estate and the credit space, that those times of like disconnect in your relationship, did that affect your professional life?
I don't necessarily feel like it affected my professional life. I continue to move forward. If anything, I say that it probably caused me to double down on some of the things that I was doing, right?
Right.
A lot of times when things are going on at home, you kind of double down on
business,
sometimes even as a distraction.
Yep.
Right? So I can't say that it necessarily affected it in a negative way. It probably caused me to be more vigilant when it came to really like making those things successful. And it's so funny because hindsight is always 20/20.
It is.
But yeah, I feel like it probably caused me to focus more on those things.
Mm. How do you, because you know, we in a time like, you know, everybody about their business, trying to focus on their career, get their money, whatever. And a lot of people neglect the relationship aspect or neglect after the relationship, the healing aspect part of it. So what was that journey like for you after that divorce? So you could say, man, this won't happen again.
Yeah, for sure. So initially, when I first got divorced, it was kind of like, yo, I'm free. You know what I'm saying?
You outside.
Yeah. I wasn't really even, you funny. but it's true though, it's true, right?
No, like, I feel you.
You're in a relationship, the relationship is not going well. And so, you know, when I first got divorced, it was really more of me like focusing on the things that I wanted to do, the people I wanted to be around. So for a good period of time, I'd probably say about a year, I just focused on the things that I wanted. And then I realized that will never fill a void or the hole that exists inside. I realized that there were things in me that I had to address, and there was healing that I needed. There was accountability that I needed to take, right?
Right.
And so that journey for me began with me really just taking accountability and saying, you know what, it was my fault. I take responsibility
for
the
man.
Yeah, it is. And it's something that we don't like to do a lot of times because it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. It is what it is. It happened, right? But a big part of that healing journey is saying to yourself, yo, it's on me.
It's on me.
Right? I wasn't the only party involved, but as a man and as a leader of the house, like I take responsibility for that. Right. So that was the first step, right? I'll tell you this, man. I remember setting up a meeting with her, my ex-wife. We were divorced at the time. My ex-wife and my mentor, who was my pastor at the time, right? I remember setting up a meeting with them. And in that meeting, I confessed everything.
Everything,
bro. You know, I explained that I wasn't the man that I should have been in the marriage. I take responsibility for the demise of the marriage. These are the areas that I failed you and us and the vows that we took. Bro, I cried in that meeting. You know what I'm saying? And I was not only just accountable to myself, but I was accountable to the person that I hurt or the people that I hurt, right? That was a huge step in my healing journey. Now, I'm not saying that everybody should take that that route, right? But that was a huge part of my healing journey, right? So first being honest with myself, being honest with God, being honest with her, being honest with my pastor at the time. And then once I was able to do that, I was able to be more transparent with even the world.
That's like important about that, for what we do.
Yeah, about that journey. So I hope that answers your question.
No, that makes sense. I know that's something that probably a lot of people don't have much interest in, mm-hmm. because that takes a lot, like you said, that's a lot of accountability you have to take on. And another thing you said, like, and this is something that my dad always preaches coming up, like, especially as a man, you have to take responsibility when things go left. If you're going to take responsibility and credit when things go right, you got to embrace that when they go bad.
Yeah.
Because like you said, as the leader of the household, the leader of the family, it's like, it obviously, it's not all your fault. It's two parties. But as the leader, like, you lead in all aspects.
Right.
So if you're not getting something that you're looking for, you have to look at yourself and say, what can I do? What can I do differently? Yeah. Now, obviously, if you with somebody that's not going to get on that one accord, you just got to do what you got to do. You got to get up out of there.
Yeah.
But in a lot of instances, from things that I've seen, it's like, you sometimes dudes do got to do that something on the court, but it's just like, they may not be feeling it, or they may not just be leading to the best of their ability.
Yeah.
Or what they was doing at one point.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, a relationship, it's a long, if you with somebody, you plan on being with them forever, sometimes you could get off track
100%.
As a man.
100%. And I heard somebody say this before, and I forget who it was, but they said, man, as a man, when anything goes wrong, it's always my fault.
Facts.
Right? Like, there are a lot of different things that we can, there are a lot of different excuses that we can use, but at the end of the day, it's always my fault.
Yep.
And I think taking that type of accountability really puts us in a position to grow, evolve as men, you know what I'm saying, and become the highest, best versions of ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that was important.
Mm. It gives you. It also gives you that power. When you take accountability, you have the power now to change those situations. Because as long as I'm pointing a finger at you, now I have to wait on you to change for the situation to change.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you don't ever want to change, and it never changes, I could always be like, "Well, it's Nate's fault. It's Nate's fault.
Right,
it's
exactly,
Nate's fault."
Exactly.
Instead of just saying, "Man, it's on me. I could change the situation. Let me do something differently."
Right. Because I promise you, in most cases, unless you're dealing with somebody that is mentally unstable, and those situations happen.
Facts.
But unless you're dealing with somebody that's mentally unstable or is dealing with some type of chronic issue like narcissism, right?
That's a real thing.
It is a real, thing.
They throw that word around now. I'm noticing. They label everybody a narcissist now.
They do.
Somebody
they
break
do.
Up. You're a narcissist.
They do. Right. Exactly. Right. And I think for a lot of people they misdiagnose that.
Yeah.
I think that especially in the Western world, a lot of us have narcissistic traits.
Right.
Right. But I don't think everybody's a narcissist. Right?
I agree.
I've been called a narcissist, right? Especially going through what I went through in my my marriage and coming out of that and some of the things that happened in the breakdown of the marriage, right? Maybe I did exhibit some narcissistic traits
at the time.
Right, at the time. But at the same time, also, that's the first time that I've ever experienced something like what I experienced in that relationship, right? Like, historically, before that, I was always, like, a faithful guy. I was always, like, always transparent, always vulnerable. And then in that marriage, you know, it was a different story. So sometimes I think that we have seasons of maybe narcissism or...
That's a good boy.
Or seasons of, lack of accountability. Will we allow that to define who we are as a person?
No, you can't.
Right? Or what we say in that particular situation or in that particular relationship, I wasn't the person that I was supposed to be.
Facts.
And make peace with that.
Something that you said though, you said like in Western society, I think we do all here in America have narcissistic traits because at the end of the day, America is an individual individualistic culture.
Yes.
Everything is about like me, what I'm doing, what I want. So by default, you can't be born and from here, raised here, and not take on that kind of culture. It's naturally 100%. Going to happen. So
100%.
Yeah.
Bro, we live in the selfie central. Bro. Right? Like this is a selfie society. So just think about that, right? A narcissist, they're self-centered. Everything is about them. If you look at most people's social media platforms, right? Self-centeredness. Everything's about them.
Yep.
Right? The world revolves around us. So in the culture and society that we live in, we are groomed to be that, right? It takes recognizing like, yo, I want to live outside of that. I want to make some changes. I want to live, to make an impact in the lives of other people. You know, I want my life, my story, my situation, my failures to make an impact on people. Like that's, when you step outside of it, then you're able to see it for what it is. And
no, that's facts. That's facts. I want to make a quick pivot really quick. Something, because I see like with you, with Brandon and social media, your Brandon went crazy within the past 12 months. It just, it sparked and blew up.
Yeah.
Because of conversations similar to this. So for the listeners out there that's listening and watching, right?
Yes.
And everybody want to go with Brandon 2023. Everybody want to have their thing going on. That's amazing. There's nothing wrong with that. Get the people some real information on how to do this the right way.
100%. So the first thing I would say is consistency, right? If you want to be great at anything, right, it takes repetition and doing it consistently. So I'll tell you a story, man. So I walked into October of last year with 7,000 followers. Right? By October 25th, I had over 100,000 followers, all organic. No ads. Nothing.
Wait, you say October of last year?
October last year, I walked into October. October 1st of last year, I had 7,000 followers on Instagram. By October 25th.
Of 2022?
Of 2022. So 25 days. I went from 7,000 to over 100,000. I hit 100,000 on October 25th. So in 25 days, and everybody that I talked to, they said, I've never seen growth that fast.
No, I've never seen. I didn't know it was like that, bro.
It was crazy.
Just go ahead. I'm a chill. How you break it down, how that happened.
Yeah, for sure. So back to consistency. So there were two things that I made a commitment to do. I said, man, I wanted to be consistent. So I was going to post every day.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make sure that the quality of my videos was something that would make people want to stop and listen, right? Whether they cared about what I was saying or not, I wanted to make sure that the quality was something that if you're scrolling on your feed and you see a video that came before mine, you would see that video and you would see mine and you'd be like, yo, like, what is this? What, you know what I'm saying? What does he do? What is he talking about, right? So those are the two things that I focused on. So I remember, let's backtrack to August of last year. I remember, man, I was buying a bunch of different cameras, trying it out, different things like that. I found a camera that I like, which is a Sony ZV-E10. That's what I use.
Fire.
Sony ZV-E10. I love it. So August, I remember, I began to post. September came around and I said, okay, look, I'm going to post every single day. Rain, sleet, snow, whatever. I'm going to share a message with my audience that's from the heart.
And true to you.
That's true to me. That's authentic, right? Remember, my dad had passed away. My dad had actually passed away July of last year. So July of last year, my dad passed away. August, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna start posting, started looking at cameras and all of that stuff. September, I made a commitment. I said, I'm going to post every single day, right? I had switched my entire brand up before I was Penthouse Poppy on Instagram.
I remember. Yeah.
And I was doing the real estate stuff.
Yeah.
And then when my dad died, I was like, man, I want to make a commitment to talking about things that I feel matters, right? So September, every day, I'm talking about masculine vulnerability. I'm sharing something from the heart. I'm confessing things. I'm affirming people. You know, I'm telling my story. You know what I'm saying? I'm living in my truth. And so I started doing that every day in September, right? I probably gained maybe 2,000 followers in September. Nothing crazy. Again, I didn't get into this because I was trying to go viral or go crazy with it or anything like that. I got into it because I really wanted to make an impact. Bro, October 1st hit, so I had like 4,500 followers in August. By the end of September, I had like 7,000 followers. 7,000 followers, whatever. bro, all of a sudden, the crazy part about it is I didn't even know I was going viral on Instagram because I would post on Instagram, but I was spending most of my time on TikTok, right? Because TikTok to me was more fun at the time, right?
Yeah.
So I would post, I would get off. I remember maybe like October 5th, I came back to my page and my page had jumped in like 5 days from 7,000 to 10,000. And I'm looking like, yo, what's going on, right? None of my most recent videos had gone viral. It was like maybe a video that was like 5 or 6 videos back. I ended up scrolling through. I saw that it hit like 300,000 views. Anyway, long story short, then all of a sudden, like I began to see my account jump by like 1,000 a day, then 2,000 a day. At my peak, I gained 8,000 followers in one day.
That's wild.
Right? And then it was like 5,000 followers a day, 5,000 followers a day for a good period of time. And that's how I did it, bro, focusing on consistency and then quality.
Quality is everything.
And that was, it went crazy.
Because quality these days in 2023 with so much content and everybody making content, like you said, when you're scrolling, that quality is going to make somebody stop. They might be just, because we all just doing this.
Yeah.
But when you see quality, even if you scroll, you're going to go back and be like, what was that?
Yeah.
Now, all you need is 2-3 seconds to get somebody's attention. Now they in. And your quality, like you said, your camera look good. The whole setup is A1. So that's going to make somebody like, scroll, what is he talking about?
Yeah, exactly. It makes people stop, right? Like whatever it is, you know, they say you gotta have a hook.
Yeah.
You have to have something that makes people stop. For me, it was the quality. The quality is what made people stop, I believe, right? And then when they actually stopped to listen and they realized that I was talking about something that was abstractly different than what you normally get from a man.
Yeah.
Let alone a young African-American man talking about things that we normally don't talk about is, you know what I'm saying? People laugh at me. They'd be like, yo, you like Dr. Phil. You know what I'm saying? But just think about that. Think about that contrast.
That's important.
Right?
When you put it that way,
yeah,
that's important. That means there's a lane that's open within our community.
Yeah. Wide open.
And that's important because that's what you need as a creator. If you decide to be a content creator, obviously, the easiest thing you can do is jump in everybody's lane that they already in.
100%.
But if you really want to blow and make something out of this, the best thing to do is jump in a lane that nobody is really in.
Right.
And that's where, but you got to do it from you did it from a point of authenticity.
100%.
Or something that you really believed in, the experiences that you really done. You can't really do that, jump in a lane with something you have no real interest and experience in, because you're not going to see the growth. It's going to show. We looking at the camera, we could see, like, this dude just bumping his gums for clout or whatever.
For likes.
For likes.
Yeah, yeah.
He don't really mean what he's saying.
Yeah.
We can see it.
Yo, you can definitely see authenticity in people. And, it kind of brings up that discussion of, like, passion versus popularity, or passion versus... basically passion versus popularity. Doing what's popular versus doing what you're passionate about. Now,
mm-hmm.
for some people, those two roles align.
They roll along.
But for a lot of people, they don't. And will you remain true to what your passion is, even if it's not necessarily popular? I didn't even think that people would feel the way that I was coming. But I knew that it was something that I had to do to honor authenticity in me. Mm. So.
And people respect people. Like I said, people see that, man. And something that's also cool to remember is that if you're going through something, you feel a certain way about something, you're not the only one.
Mm.
There's millions of people out here that feel the exact same way, but nobody's voicing it yet. And you could be that first one.
That's so true. Man, I can't tell you how many athletes
hit you up,
ended up sending me messages and saying, like, yo, I appreciate everything that you're talking about. Some of the things that you're talking about, man, I've never had the courage to do, but I want to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going through this in my relationships. I'm talking about, like, athletes, bro, people in the NFL, NBA, actors. You know what I'm saying? When you're true to who you are, right, you're true to your message, man, it'll draw people from all different backgrounds that are looking for what you have, that need what you have, you know what I'm saying, that find courage in what you were able to do. We talked about that a little bit earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
It takes courage to be vulnerable.
It does.
It takes courage to be honest, even if you're judged for it.
That's you're not lying, bro. I want to talk about this for a second, because with the branding part of it, this is also important, and this is something that we were speaking on recently, mm-hmm. is the image part. Mm-hmm. So break that aspect of it down. Why is that important, and how important is that aspect of when it comes to all of this?
Yeah, 100%. So presentation is everything, right? We talked a lot about quality when it comes to like video presentation or whatever, but the way that we put our clothes together and all of that stuff, mm-hmm. right? That represents quality as well. So I know that there are people out there that find immense value in dressing as a reflection of where they came from.
Yep.
Right? A lot of us, we grew up in the hood, you know, and so for a lot of people, it's like, yo, I want to remain true to who I am. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. But I will also say that as we evolve, I think that there's something to be said about presenting ourselves in a way that that is palatable for people that may not have come from our background.
Facts.
Right? Clothing is a language.
Talk about it, bro.
Right? Clothing is a language. So if I throw on some Versace, you know what I'm saying, big Versace sign on the chest, right? I'm appealing to a certain audience that likes that.
Yep.
Right? So the attention that I'm capturing is the attention of people who enjoy that, right? Bro, when you throw on a suit, that's something that is universally respected.
Universally.
Right? So not only am I catching the attention of the people that like Versace, but I'm also catching the attention of the billionaire.
Yep.
That has quiet money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're not gonna see logos and all of that stuff, you know, on most billionaires, right? They mm-hmm. you might see it in a watch, you might see it, you know, in some shoes, you might see it in things that you might see it in glasses.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So one of the things I can say is that I think when we change our appearance, man, it opens doors that we don't realize. Like, we don't have to remain true, in a sense, to where we came from, right? Maybe remaining true to where we came from is showing people that you can evolve from where you are.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's something that is universally embraced as a sign of success and excellence.
Man, you preaching, dog, because it's something, like, I've been wearing suits a lot recently, and everybody been asking me, like, man, what's the inspiration behind you wearing suits? I love it, man. It's dapper. And it's like, because when people see you in a suit, like you just said, attire speaks. When they see me in a suit, they know I mean business.
Yeah.
And not only that, when I wear a suit, obviously I look well, and I'm a representation of myself. I'm a representation of my family, my parents. I'm a representation of my business, my brand. And you're a representation of your entire race.
Yeah.
Whether you want that responsibility or not,
right?
We are representing our entire race when we step out here in our appearance. So it's like, why not make my people look good?
Yeah.
Or make people see, when they see me, they be like, damn, like he make them look good.
Yeah.
He a good representation of them.
Yeah.
It's not, I'm not gonna put them in a box because I see somebody like they looking like this, you know. So it's a deep understanding that a lot of people still to this day lack, because it's that comfortability and always, you know what I'm saying, looking like where you came from.
Yeah.
And wanting to keep it real to that.
Yeah.
But it's like, to show you evolve, you gotta evolve as a human. That's what we all put here for.
Yeah.
And it's not too many ways to better to show your evolvement as far as compared to your appearance.
Yeah.
Cause that's the first, I could look at you and be like, damn, you on some other shit right
yeah,
now. You ain't look like this the last time I saw you.
Yeah.
You dapper, so you on to something new. So that's how, I know that's how I see it personally.
Yeah, and I don't care what anybody says, man. You throw on a suit, you feel different.
Man, bro.
The confidence is different. And not only that, but the way that people receive you is different, okay? So I know for people, some people say like, man, look, I don't want to do business with somebody if they don't respect like who I am as a person or whatever the case may be. And I'm like, yo, I feel like, That's an opportunity for us to shift our mindset a little bit,
yeah.
right? What if dressing in a certain way puts you in a position to build a relationship with somebody that you normally wouldn't have the opportunity to build a relationship with, to help them to understand your journey?
That's a hell of a perspective, bro.
Right. So what happens if, you know, somebody's seeing you in a suit, right? that would that normally wouldn't cross-pollinate with you if you were in some J's and some jeans and, you know what I'm saying, a t-shirt? What if them seeing you in a suit caused them to take you more serious, right? And causes you to be in a position where you can build a relationship with somebody that mm-hmm. normally wouldn't build a relationship with you? And then from there, you can actually, you know what I'm saying, show them a perspective of your journey or your, you know what I'm saying, or whatever it is. What if that's a business opportunity?
It is.
You know what I'm saying? What if the way that we dress, you know what I'm saying, if it's not excellent, what if the way that we dress is keeping money out of our pocket?
Because it is. That's the reality of
right.
it.
And which in turn is taking money out your kids' pocket, right? Because we're doing it for generations. We're yep. not just doing this for us.
No, you're right, bro. And I think a lot of people, some people be in denial about that. Because even if you're breaking bread, being yourself and never, because it ain't really just about suits. It's about, hey, look at you. You ain't got no suit, but you clean. You got the loafers on, clean jeans, clean silk shirt. It's clean. When people see that, they're going to respect it. So it's just not about the suits. It's just about looking like presentable and looking like you polished.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what it's about. And when you don't look that way, the reality of it is you are going to miss out on opportunities. And you may be getting a crazy bag from one section of people. But once you have that global appeal, that global look, like you said, everybody respects this. And no matter what part of the world I am, they're going to respect it. And you could be a piece of shit for real. But when you look polished, people going to give you a level of respect that they're not going to give you. Man, I've been seeing a different reaction when I'm dressing like this and when I'm just like sweatpants, tennis shoes. I'm the same person.
100%.
But it's a different level of reaction that people give me. As soon as I walk in the building, people are like, you look like somebody important. Let me hold the door for you. How you doing, 100%. Mr. Miller? Do you need something to drink?
It's Mr. Miller at that point. It's not Mr. Xavier Miller anymore.
it's not even Xavier no more. It's Mr. Miller. You need some coffee. How you doing? Like, it's all these different things that is not there when I'm outside this attire. And somebody, a billionaire, told me this. They told me, you got to earn the right to dress how you want to dress. And that might upset some people, but it's real. Like, you can't, we humans at the end of the day, you can't expect people to give you respect. You can't show up any kind of way and be like, well, I'm a human at the end of the day, you should give me respect. That's just not the real world. And you can't go anywhere looking like anybody at certain position in your life.
No, 100%.
Once you accomplish, you put the name for yourself, you paint, of course, sweatsuits, whatever you want to do, because people know who you are, they know to respect you.
Right.
But when you on the ground level, you can't expect to just walk in the room looking like anybody and anything and expect people to like be willing to work and ready to work with you.
Yeah, 100%. Listen, I've always been told, dress how you want to be addressed.
Damn.
Dress how you want to be addressed. So my whole thing is like, if you want to be addressed like a rapper,
dress like a rapper.
If you want to be addressed like a businessman,
dress like a businessman. Carry
you know
yourself like a businessman.
And it's even more important for us, right? Like, even when you think about things like, you know, police brutality and different things like that, right? And I hate to even take it even there, right? But it is what it is, right? You pulled over driving a nice car in a suit.
I get where you're going, bro.
Right? Like, I've literally been pulled over before in a suit or in something nice, right? And I know that the reaction from the officer
is completely different.
Than
it
when
is.
When I'm chilling, like I have on chill attire, it's not right. But at the end of the day, it's not a matter of being right or wrong. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, I got to make it home.
You got to make it home. This is the real world.
And so I would even dare to say that dressing well decreases your chances of being ostracized by the cop.
And it's a hell of an interesting conversation, because not only another aspect that comes with dressing well that I think people don't realize is it will requires a different version of you that's outside of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. It's like when I'm in a suit, right? I notice whenever I'm in a suit, I'm more aware of the words I'm saying. Like, I'm more aware to not just be saying nigga, motherfucker, shit.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, that don't match my representation, my attire, what I got on now.
Right.
So it requires me to be the best version of myself. Now I need to speak eloquently.
Wow.
I need to act eloquently.
Wow.
And this is something that I just noticed when I wear a suit. Like, I know every time I put on a suit, if I'm talking to somebody, if I'm finna cuss, I'm like, oh, I shouldn't say that right now because that don't. People see me in this. They not looking for me or expecting me to be like motherfucker this, motherfucker that. So I watch the things that I say and I moved. I walk different. Everything is it's a different way I'm carrying myself now just based on what I got.
Bro, that's so true. That's so true because every new level requires a different version of you. Every new level requires a different version of you, right? So basically what you're saying, bro, I told you when you walked in, I'm like, man, this is crazy, right? Like I'm liking this, right?
Yeah.
But bro, you're stepping into a new level.
Yeah.
You're stepping into a new level. You know what I'm saying? I'd even dare to say that you've already achieved, you know what I'm saying, a new level and there are more levels to go. But the way you're dressing at this stage, right, is a representation of another level that you've hit. And this is a conversation that a lot of people don't like to have because everybody wants to be a real nigga. Yep. You know what I'm saying? My whole thing is, it's even that mentality, I think, is a poverty mentality.
It is, and it's a shackling mentality.
Right. Why can't I be authentic with a suit on?
Exactly.
Why can't I be a real one with a suit on?
Why can't I be a real one if I'm not using foul language?
Right. You know what I'm saying? So every new level requires a different version of you, and I think that can be indicated in the attire.
Dang, that's you saying some stuff, bro. And that's why I brought you on here because I knew this conversation was gonna be something that a lot of people, this may be their first time hearing a conversation with two men like this, or you know what I'm saying. And I feel like those things are necessary for within the culture.
Yeah.
Because at the reality of it is when you become a public figure and you got hella followers, hella listeners, you're going viral.
Yeah.
Whether you want the responsibility of being a leader within the culture or not, you are now.
Yeah.
So it's like whether you want to be that best version of yourself or not, you need to be.
Yeah, 100%. You know 100%. 100%. Some people don't take that responsibility seriously. Mm. But anytime you have people following you, it's a responsibility.
Yeah, because you can lead people. Like, imagine if, like, I'm pretty sure you got a bunch of men and women paying attention to you. But imagine if you was giving men a different message as far as, like, being anti the things you saying.
Yeah.
Anti-vulnerable. Yeah. Anti-being open enough to be with somebody.
Yeah.
Imagine the cause and effect that can have in households that you're not even aware of.
100%.
Because you don't know these people. But they 100%. Like, man, I seen Nate on the gram saying, like, this how I need to be.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean... Man, I can't tell you how many messages I get from men that are like, yo, I really appreciate you being in the space. You know what I'm saying? I've learned a lot of different things from you. But you're right. Just like the content that I'm making now is having a positive impact on people, right? If I was making a different type of content, it could have a negative effect.
Mm.
Right? So being mindful of that is important.
Mm. Talk about this, because I want to talk about this for a second. You a man that's, you live a certain kind of lifestyle. You living good. You got the nice high-rise apartment. You driving good. You living good, man. And that's something that a lot of men strive to be in positions in. These are things that 2023, men, they look at that. They say, man, I want to do something like that. So women, too. So what's your piece of advice for people what's your advice for people that want to be in this position that you're in, but they like at the ground level, they might not even see like that being a possibility for them. Mm-hmm. What would you say to that person?
Yeah, the first thing they need to do is believe. You got to believe that it's possible. You got to believe that it's possible through you, right? So I think mindset is important. Before we even talk about the skill set or the tool set, right? We got to talk about the mindset, right? So they have to believe that it's possible. I remember prior to being in this stage in my life, I was working in apartment leasing, right? And I remember working a job in apartment leasing while also learning credit and working on my real estate license at the same time, right? But I believed that there was more out there. And for me, the biggest thing was I wanted to be able to control my time, because I knew if I could control my time, I could essentially steer my destiny in a sense, right? So the first thing I had to do, though, I had to believe that it was possible. Like, yo, I'm smart enough to do this. I'm smart enough to learn this. I'm smart enough to retain this. And I'm smart enough to execute in this space. So that was the first thing. The second thing was acquiring skill sets, right? So learning some type of trade, whether that's, for me, it was credit. Credit to me is a trade. It's a skill set. Learning a skill set, locking in on it, and becoming obsessed, right?
Why is that part so important, the obsessed part?
Yeah, because in order to learn something, especially in a short period of time, now if people want to take, you know, a long period of time to learn something, it may not require obsession, mm-hmm. right? But for me, I was hungry, right? I was hungry. I'm like, yo, I gotta lock in, I gotta learn this, right? So it does require a level of obsession to learn it, to be willing to practice it. You know what I'm saying? I think about Kobe Bryant, like you gotta tap into a Kobe mode
that
for a second.
Mentality.
Right, it might be 3 months.
Facts.
My whole life changed in 3 months, bro.
Three months.
Yeah, I was working on my real estate license and I was learning credit at the same time. I got my real estate license done in like a month. The credit stuff, it took me about 3 months to really get my feet under me and really understand what I was doing. But I had to be obsessed. I remember having paper all over the place and I was looking at different dispute letters and I was trying to understand it and I was doing research and I was talking to mentors. That's the third part, right? Getting somebody in your corner who's successful in the area that you want to be successful in, right? So one, you got to believe. Two, you got to be obsessed, right? When it comes to learning whatever that skill set is. And then three, finding a mentor that's been successful in the area that you want to be successful in, because it'll shorten the learning curve. That's what I would say.
That's a fact. What would you say to people that was, when it comes to mentorship, like, let's say, man, I don't have the funds to pay for mentorship, or the access to these kind of people. I live in this small ass town somewhere. Like, what would you say to somebody that says that?
Yeah. So I would say that currency is not just money, right? So you have to identify what your currency is, right? What is it that you can give away that's worth money?
Everybody has something,
yep. right? Give your gift away in exchange for access to that particular person, right? For some people, if they don't feel like they have a particular gift that's worth giving away, then what they need to do is give away some of their time for free.
Yep. That's it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I'll work for you for free.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I just want to be in this environment. I want to be in this space. I'll work for you for free. And in that space, really working diligently, like doing it with your heart, right? Doing it as if you're getting paid for it. You know what I'm saying? Working harder than if you would get paid for it. Because sometimes people get paid for stuff and they do the bare minimum just to make the money. But understanding that the whole goal, you know what I'm talking about, right? Especially if you don't care about the job.
No facts.
But understanding that the whole goal is to build a relationship. So give your gift away. Be in the environment. Work for free. You know what I'm saying? I promise you, if you do that, and that if that person is integral, they'll see it in you and they'll begin to invest in you little by little.
And I want to say, first of all, before we wrap up, I want to say we need to do a part two, man, because I feel like there's so much more we need to discuss. So I'm going to let it be known right now for the people that's listening and watching. This is part one. We about to have a part two soon.
Let's go.
And my final question I got for you is, what is your biggest regret?
What is my biggest regret? My biggest regret is not being the man that I promised to be at certain stages in my life.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that, like, for instance, even in my marriage, right, I wasn't the man that I promised her I would be. I wasn't the man that I vowed I would be in that particular marriage, right?
How old were you when you got married?
I was 28 when I got married.
Okay.
And I was 33 when I divorced. So I was married for 5 years.
5 years.
So I think that's a huge regret. But it's a regret that came with a lesson. So even though I have regret about not being the man that I should have been in that marriage, and not being the man. And you know, there are other relationships that were affected as well. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? My pastor at the time, his wife, you know what I'm saying, who trusted and believed in me, right? So I would say that that's my biggest regret. And I would also say that came with a lesson.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel like, and this might sound weird, do you feel like the divorce was necessary for that lesson, or do you feel like you could learn that lesson without getting divorced?
I probably could have learned a lesson without getting a divorce, but I would say that I can't guarantee that I would have gotten it without a divorce. Right? If I was open enough, I could have gotten that lesson. But I don't know if I would have been as open to receive that lesson, right? But I do think that it's possible. It just means that you do the work in the marriage versus doing it outside of it. It just means that you come to that recognition the importance of being honest, open, and transparent in the marriage versus doing it on the back end, right? So if I can help to encourage people and save them from having to go through the divorce and experiencing the death of a father in order to realize the need to be vulnerable, you know what I'm saying, with the people that you love, then that would make me happy. Mm. That would be a part of my purpose.
Mm. Final thing. What would, to all the men that's listening or watching, if you had one message for men that's watching this, what would it be?
Don't be afraid of vulnerability. It's a superpower. It's extremely uncomfortable, but if you do it the right way, it'll unlock things in you that will unlock things in future generations. Because basically what we're doing is we're breaking a cycle, right? My dad was not the most vulnerable, transparent, honest person at certain stages in his life, right? He was a great man for many years, and I still believe it. In my heart, I still feel like he's a great man, even though he had faults and failures and different things like that. But he did not exemplify transparency and vulnerability, right? There are some things in him that if he was transparent about it, I probably would not have gone through it.
Facts.
Right? Because I would have learned from his example, right? And he would have taught me to be that, right? I would have been able to identify with the weaknesses in him and his honesty in those weaknesses, right? Because a lot of us are dealing with the same things, bro. A lot of people are just not talking about it.
Most of us are.
Right. For me, it's about breaking those generational curses, right? So my son won't have to deal with what I dealt with, right? He'll look at it from a totally different lens, and he'll understand that he's not alone in it. It's nothing that he needs to be afraid of. So don't be afraid of being vulnerable.
That's so cute. We gonna double, like I said, y'all, everybody that's listening to watching, that's something we're gonna double down on part two. But before we end this one, I want to say first, thank you for pulling up and chopping it up with me, man. You know how much that's greatly appreciated.
Bro, anytime, man.
We about to get it done again, man. But yes, before sir. I let you go, plug in all your stuff where people can find you, follow you, tap into your message, everything you're doing.
Yeah, for sure. So the best place to find me is Instagram, From Nate With Love. You'll find all of the transparent videos. If you're looking for credit, shoot me a message on Instagram. If you need anything as far as real estate is concerned in Texas, shoot me a message on Instagram. I'll tap in with you and I'll point you in the right direction.
Man, y'all hear my guy, tap into my guy, Nate. And as far as me and the platform, you can find me on all platforms at the Millionaire Mindset Pod. And for my personal Instagram, I'm at Official Xavier Miller. And that's all I have for y'all on this episode of Millionaire Mindset Podcast. See you guys next episode. Peace.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.